The next matter is testamentary trust of Desimone.
Good morning, Your Honors. Catherine Smith, representing the appellant, Dale Collins. In this case, I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Mm-hmm. We seem to be having cases that go back 30 or 40 years today. I guess that's appropriate under the circumstances. This case, of course, arises from a trust that was created in a will that was intended to create beneficiaries and classes of beneficiaries that could not be determined until long after the death of the testator. And in fact, the trust lasted for as long as the rule against perpetuities would allow it to last, which is 21 years after the death of a life and being when the trust came into effect in 1946. When a testator creates a trust to benefit some people that they don't know far into the future, the law is that you give effect to the class of beneficiaries using the law when the class comes into being. Now, in this case, my client, for purposes of summary judgment, this is something he would have to prove at trial, is a member of the class under any law that applied when his class came into being. The argument that is being made and that was accepted at the trial court was because issue was defined in the intestacy statutes, which are not referenced in this will, to mean legitimate descendants at the time this will was created, that meant that an illegitimate child, grandchild, could not be part of the class when the class was ascertained.
And if we disregard the intestacy statute,
yes,
and look at the then definition of that term, what result?
Well, there wasn't any then definition of that term. We had the Bowles v. Denny case, which said that issue includes all descendants. That was in 1930. If there was some question regarding this, the way to address that would be to say legal heirs or legal descendants, legal issue, and you know that from the Wright case, but which said that way of defining issue tells you that you don't intend illegitimates to inherit or to take. But that was not the term that was used in this case. And a state of solid, I think, really applies here. And it recognized, regardless of whether you use the intestacy definition or not, what a state of solid tells you is that you look at the law when the class can be ascertained, and that's exactly what they did in that case. Adopted children who would not have been within the class when the trust was created became within the class at the time it was ascertained because the definition of who was a child had changed.
And let me just make sure I understand you. When you say when the class is ascertained, are you saying that is something other than when the testator made the will?
Yes. Okay. In this case, the class of beneficiaries, the class of grandchildren, income beneficiaries, could not be ascertained until the child from whom they would take died. And if you look at, and let me just quote from the...
And when do you contend that was?
When Mondo died in 1996.
1996, okay.
Yes. And if you, accepting their argument that we should be looking at what the statute says, because their argument depends upon, the trust's argument depends upon the statute being the way that you define issue. The statute was changed in 1976. RCW 1104081 at that point says for purposes of inheritance or taking through a party, marriage is irrelevant. So the statute was changed then. When this class was ascertained or could be ascertained in 1996 when Mondo died, children issue, grandchildren included illegitimates. So if Mr. Collins can prove that he was the child of Mondo, he should be within the class. And I want to quote From solid because the solid case, because I think it so clearly establishes what the rules should be here. The settlor of the trust, and in that case the issue was whether adopted children would be included, was presumed to understand that a statute fixing the rights of an adopted child would be subject to change. Thus, a statute requiring adopted children to be treated as trust beneficiaries was retroactively applied. All you have to do is take out the word adopted and put in illegitimate or not within a marriage, and solid decides this case. And it's our contention that that is the way in which this trust should have been interpreted. There is no case law to the contrary, and it reflects the policy that we will allow individuals to create trusts that will benefit individuals that they will never know, and we will allow them to do so, but we will look for purposes of determining what the class is at the law at the time that the class comes into being. And in this case, that was in 1996, where there is no question that issue and the term grandchildren would have included an illegitimate child such as Mr. Collins. I'm going to reserve the remainder of my time unless there are any questions.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Deborah Phillips. I'm here on behalf of Benjamin Danielli, who is the surviving spouse and the personal representative of Jackie Danielli's estate, who was Mondo's only child, and on behalf of three of her children, two of whom are here today and are beneficiaries of this estate. Also present today is Karen Bertram and Joanna Kulbaugh. They represent the trustees, Richard and Joseph Desimone, and they represent BNY Mellon, that is the third trustee. They have agreed that I will present argument this morning.
All argument. So there's no splitting time?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. One of my first questions is, what do we do with solid in this argument that the class of beneficiaries determination in 1996 is really what drives this?
I respectfully disagree that that is in fact what solid holds, or that that is the law that applies here. And I say that based upon decades of cases that have looked at the issue of when you interpret a will, and we have a testamentary trust, and they say that you interpret intent as of the time the will is executed, which was in 1943. We have a death only 3 years later in 1946. And you interpret the testamentary trust as the law is in effect at that time. And what you have in solid is a very different situation. And in fact, I think if you look at the language in solid, it shows why the court came to a different decision, and that is that there is in fact specific in language in that trust that says that you look to the, and let me find it in just a second please, it says that the distribution was to go to surviving issue including lineal descent, and the term shall include their heirs or successors as provided in the trust instrument as and when such heirs or interest in interest may acquire the rights of the beneficiaries, which I think is a very different situation than what we have here. So the family that created the trust there had a different concept in mind. And in terms of deciding who would be included. And if you look at the cases that go through time and talk about when you apply the law, I think that you will see cases virtually every decade that say, in fact, what you do is apply the law at the time that the testator established his will and that it came into being, because that's the only way that you can carry out the very fundamental principle that applies here, which is to carry out Giuseppe Desimone's intent. And that intent is very clear, both in terms of how he identifies his family, his children, how he provides for their participation in the administration of this trust that continues today with Joseph and Richard as the oldest children in a generation, continuing to be involved in the administration of the estate. And I think his clear concept of what family involved.
Well, one argument that has been made is that at least as of 1930, there was case law that made a distinction between legitimate and illegitimate children. So why wouldn't we look at that law in the context of intent and the lack of any specific identification of legitimate grandchildren?
The case that you're talking about is Bowles versus Denny, and there is a sentence in Bowles versus Denny that I would say is dicta that says, in a general sense, unconfined by any indication of the contrary, the word issue includes in its meaning all descendants. But that the issue, the question of what issue meant was not what was decided in Bowles versus Denny at all. The question there was whether she meant to include grandchildren or whether she cut it off a generation before. And in contrast to that, what you have are numerous cases that talk about the definition of issue. And you can go back to every situation in which issue came before then the Supreme Court, as there was no Court of Appeals. They consistently say that issue applies to legitimate children. You have cases every decade that says that you should apply the law to be consistent with what is provided in the laws of intestacy. You see that, in fact, in Soliede, they say, there is no reason to believe the issue as used in the statute of descent and distribution has a different meaning when used in a will or trust. And it is undisputed that the definition in the intestacy statutes clearly limits the word issue to legitimate children born in wedlock or adopted or acknowledged by a father.
So the crux of the dispute is your argument focuses on the intent at the time of the creation of the trust.
Correct.
And the argument that's being raised in opposition is that we should look at the law when we can determine the class. And why is that argument not one that we should follow, or why is that argument not as persuasive as your argument?
It would require you, I believe, to overturn law dating back to 1875, that the courts have always interpreted a trust, they've always interpreted wills, under the law that is in effect, with the only exception being in Soliede, where they took a different approach. But in doing that, they looked back to the history of adoption and the changes that had been made over time by statute that allowed for adopted children to inherit from different either mother or father or going up or horizontally in the lines of the family.
And why wouldn't illegitimate children be analogous to adopted children?
Because what you have here is, one, you don't have a change in the statute until 2005, not earlier than that. And what you have is, similar to adopted children, you have a way to create a family, to acknowledge a child born out of wedlock, either through the acknowledgement of the father, through the adoption by the father of the child, or through the subsequent marriage of the parents. You have all of those means to bring an illegitimate child into the definition of family. And that never occurred here. And that is the legal construct under which Giuseppe Desimone operated when he worked with counsel to establish this will and to define family. And if you now superimpose on his trust and his family a different definition, you have abrogated what was his intent at the time. And that would require overturning, I think, the fundamental underpinnings of how wills and trusts are interpreted in this state. And that, I think, is the very different situation that no court that has been faced with that issue has ever done in the state of Washington.
Well, even looking at his intent, the trust is specifically for that the income shall be left to his children, their issue, quote, it their, quote, issue, parent, my grandchildren, end quote. So an illegitimate child could certainly be a grandchild.
But he always loops back to the word issue. If you look at, and the reason that he uses the parenthetical, and note that he uses a parenthetical, he doesn't put my grandchildren, my issue. He uses the word issue because otherwise, with a trust going through multiple generations, he would have to refer to the issue of my issue, the issue of my issue of my issue. And so I think that it was described as the appositive sense, that you use a term as a shorthand term to describe issue. But if you read through that trust, you will see the word issue used time after time after time again. And when you get down to the final distribution, he again reverts to, it shall be distributed to my issue. And he's using that at a time when the only definition in any case that has ever decided what issue means says that it means legitimate children. It means the children born in marriage, acknowledged, adopted, or parents subsequently married.
And what was that case?
There are any number of cases.
Well, you just said that was the only case.
So. Oh, Solid is the only case. So excuse me, not Solid. The Denny case, okay, where they take that one line out of context. But otherwise, you have Lambles from 39, Baker in 57. You have Brooks. It goes virtually every decade. That issue came before the court and has consistently been decided.
Thank you.
This issue hasn't been addressed before, this issue of how you establish, how you define a class when the class comes into being at the conclusion of, at the death of the of another individual. And it hasn't arisen in Washington. And you have heard the concession that in the circumstance where it did arise, the one circumstance in this state where there had to be a determination of what the class was going to be is in the Solid or Solid, I guess that's an easier way for us to distinguish it, case. And in that case, the court acknowledged that you look to the law at the time the class is going to be ascertained. And the reason for that is because the testator under those circumstances is presumed to know that the law may change. Mr. Giuseppe Desimone, he knew that individuals that he did not know, his descendants, would take this trust. And he could not have any control over how that was going to happen. And the use of the term issue in conjunction with my grandchildren, first of all, what the argument that's being made here takes grandchildren out of the trust. And when that will was drafted, there was, in fact, at least, certainly if you intended to preclude the determination of who would be within the class of issue at a period of time in the future, you could have done so by saying lawful issue or legal heirs. And look at the Bowles v. Denny case, which says that issue includes all descendants unconfined by any indication of intention to the contrary. And more to the point, it then cites Drake, which is a New York case, which dealt with precisely this issue. What's the consequence of not saying legitimate issue? It will include illegitimate children. That was a case, and Mr. Shuffleman, I'm sure, was should have been aware of that and did not use the term legal issue. They also established a trust in which the individuals who were going to take it could not be determined until the class was created at the death of the income beneficiary from whom those individuals would take. And under those circumstances, we allow trustors, settlers of trust, to make that determination, but we decide what the class is going to be based on the law when it comes into effect. That's the holding of SLID, and you have not really heard a very good reason why adopted children are treated differently than illegitimates. The law was changed in 1976 to say that marriage is irrelevant to the term, to the determination of who is issue or how that is going to occur, and that determination being made in 1996 was one that would have been made that would have included Mr. Collins. And he's entitled to bring that claim under the discovery rule of the of TEDRA now within a timely manner of when he learned of this relationship. We'd ask the court to reverse and to send this case back for a determination of whether, in fact, Mr. Collins is a grandchild of Giuseppe Isamoni. And I just, as a frequent flyer, want to say it's been a great honor to appear before you all these years.
Thank you, counsel.
Unless the court has any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.